From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Rachel Miro. Endorsements have been made, consultants have been consulted, likely voters have been surveyed and resurveyed, and now come the results, or rather we get to see them after the polls close tonight. A field poll estimates a record 8.9 million voters will cast ballots in the California primary. This is the first presidential primary since 1952 with no incumbent or sitting VP running, and neither the Democrats nor the Republicans have settled on a nominee. If you haven't settled on a nominee or all those state propositions have you perplexed, there's still time to review our election season coverage at californiareport.org. You'll find a link there to our political archives and, of course, election results as they become available. Today, the California Supreme Court will hear oral arguments in a closely watched legal dispute that stretches back to the dawn of the biotechnology industry. The court will decide whether San Francisco-based Genentech owes a former research partner hundreds of millions of dollars in royalty payments. As Sarah Varney reports, the case may be old, but the consequences of the upcoming decision will be fresh and relevant to anybody who makes money off of intellectual property.
In the late 1970s, City of Hope scientists working under contract for Genentech figured out a way to get bacteria to produce human insulin, something diabetics need to survive. For that, they received royalties. But in 1999, City of Hope sued, claiming Genentech was surreptitiously licensing the technology to other companies and cheating the nonprofit medical center out of its fair share. A lower court agreed and ordered Genentech to pay $300 million in additional royalties plus $200 million in punitive damages. That whopping punishment startled not just the biotech industry, but other industries that depend on licensing agreements like entertainment, publishing, and computer software. Chris Holman is an assistant professor at the University of Missouri-Kansas City Law School. He says courts rarely award punitive damages in contract disputes between companies because it's thought businesses are responsible for protecting their own interests. But in this case, says Holman, the lower courts believed it was nearly impossible for City of Hope to track the many ways Genentech had used its invention.
I think the thinking of the court is that if we don't punish a Genentech for not providing that information, there's going to be an incentive for them not to provide it. And in the worst case scenario where they're caught, they're just going to have to pay contract damages.
Holman says that if the Supreme Court upholds the damages against Genentech, companies that license technology will likely rely less on outside inventors and instead try to do more research themselves. For the California Report, I'm Sarah Varney.
So many people are expected to show up for a California Coastal Commission meeting tomorrow. The hearing's being held at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. What's on the agenda? Whether or not to build a toll road through a stretch of San Onofre State Beach. KPCC's Susan Vallet explains the proposal pits commuters against environmentalists.
This time of year, these undeveloped rolling hills of southern Orange County are grassy and green. Birds flit from tree to tree, and the wind blows the sound of crickets through the branches. The proposed toll road would cut a 16-mile swath through these hills, from the inland town of Rancho Santa Margarita to coastal San Clemente. It'd be the final link in a 67-mile highway designed to ease traffic on one of Southern California's most congested highways. But to the dismay of environmentalists, it would also cut through San Onofre State Beach. That's one of the most popular state parks in California.
You're talking about the very last large chunk of coastal open space from Ventura to the Mexican border. This is the last one.
That's Mark Rauscher of the Surfrider Foundation. His group has joined the Sierra Club, the Natural Resources Defense Council, and other environmental groups in opposing the project. He says it would hurt the area's wetlands.
Their road parallels the creek that feeds those wetlands for 12 miles going upstream. This is a highly valued area for wildlife, for water quality, for coastal environments. And they're essentially going to damage it to the point where it's completely lost its value.
The California Coastal Commission staff agrees with that assessment and is recommending a no vote. The staff says the road would threaten a half dozen endangered species, including the last coastal population of the Arroyo toad and one of the last habitats of the Pacific pocket mouse. But the regional agency in charge of the toll roads says the staff report is flawed and based on junk science. Lance McLean, who heads up the toll road agency, denies the Coastal Commission staff claim that the road will cause irreparable harm to coastal wetlands.
But our impact is minuscule. We have four bridge columns, which will encompass about 250 square feet total, and our total impact in the wetlands is 16/100ths of an acre, or about the size of a single-family home here in Orange County.
Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger wants the highway built. He and other supporters say it's necessary to relieve gridlock on Interstate 5, the main artery between Orange and San Diego counties. Environmentalists say an alternative is to widen I-5. But the toll road agency's Jerry Amonte, who's also a local city councilman, says that would do even more damage.
Widening the 5 as the alternative they propose means that I have to take out 828 homes and tell those people, I'm taking your home away from you. You can no longer live in our community. I have to destroy 4,000 jobs and tell those people you're now unemployed and your families now can go fend for themselves. I have to have $2 billion, which the state budget doesn't have, and I have to wait decades to get traffic relief. That's not a reasonable alternative.
Toll road opponents dispute those figures as hugely exaggerated. Both sides are now waging campaigns on the internet and even on YouTube. UC Irvine urban planning professor Scott Bowens characterizes the dispute as a struggle over whether Orange County can hold on to a piece of its rural past or adapt to its urban future.
There's a real change in mentality going on here among developers and environmentalists in terms of what Orange County is. We are starting to run out of green field, pristine land. So these battles represent the last pieces of the puzzle in the maturation of what now is a pretty fully built out suburban county.
If the Coastal Commission denies permission to build the $875 million road, supporters would have to appeal to the U.S. Secretary of Commerce to move forward. The Coastal Commission is expecting some 2,000 people at what is predicted to be the largest hearing in the commission's history. For the California Report, I'm Susan Vallett.
That's the California Report for Tuesday, February 5th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Healthcare Foundation and Cal Hospital Compare, a new website rating hospital quality in California at calhospitalcompare.org. The Wesley Foundation for coverage of immigration issues throughout California, and the California Teachers Association, because every child deserves a chance to learn and no child succeeds alone. More information is available at cta.org.